but it's a question for Zorba as well. Of the all-time great coaches in the history of this code, I reckon we've got two of them plying their trade at the moment, and very shortly, I think in the next 5 years, we'll be joined by a third, and that is Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy, and I think you can add Trent Robinson to that list as well, although still very early on in his coaching career. 13:53:53. Time now to speak to Zorba. We do it every week, and I'll be very interested to hear his thoughts on what's happened around Dylan Walker. He was found not guilty in court, and now just waiting on word from the National Rugby League as to whether he'll be available for the next game for the Manly Seagulls. He's on the line now. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Dave. Yeah, it's been an interesting week, and I think it's going to get even more interesting in the next couple of days when we get the result on the St George star, Jack DeBellin. It's going to be very interesting. It's an unbelievable show of sheer arrogance, though, by the NRL. They seem reluctant to accept the ultimate umpire's decision. On Friday, Dylan Walker was found not guilty of domestic violence in Manly Court.
Yes.
Walker, under the NRL's hastily convened no-fault stand-down policy, has missed 9 games. Instead of immediately clearing Walker to play in the NRL Integrity Unit, the Integrity Unit want to review the court documents before making a final decision on when they will free Walker to play. So the umpire's finger's gone up, and the batsman's not walking. Why? What monster have the NRL created in the Integrity Unit? And incredibly, the Integrity Unit is seeking even greater power to be judge and jury in the game. The Players Association, they're crazy if they allow it to happen. When is enough enough?
Well, I thought
Paul Mitchell Pearce, he was suspended for 8 weeks and fined $125,000
yes.
in 2016.
Yes.
Now described as an overcooked decision by the NRL CEO Todd Greenberg. The NRL's poor handling of off-field issues should see heads roll at NRL Central, starting with Peter Beattie. Bye-bye, Beattie. Bye-bye. That should be the new theme song in rugby league. He introduced the no-fault stand-down policy.
Yes.
It's already been blown out of the water. So remember that old song, Bye-bye, Blackbird? Goodbye. Well, bye-bye, Beattie. Bye-bye.
Hey, Zorb, now, say what you like about your own personal thoughts around the Dylan Walker case and the change of statement from the witness and all of that sort of thing. You're getting yourself in very dangerous territory, National Rugby League, if you don't accept what a court of law has handed down. And that's what are they looking at over the course of this weekend? Karen Murphy and the NRL going through the documents of the case. Now, unless Michelle Goodwin was the magistrate, and she's the one who's arrived at the decision after reviewing all of the evidence. So they're getting themselves into dangerous territory again.
If I was Dylan Walker, I'd be suing the NRL. Can Manly seek compensation? What if Jack DeBellin wins his challenge this week? And
Oof.
A lot of people are saying he may.
Oof.
I mean, Beattie can't stay. There's just no way. And the NRL's got to review its policy. Look, from day one, most of us in the community have said we don't agree with what's going on in the off-season. But
yes.
players have got to have the right that every citizen in the community has, and that is the right to go to court and have their judgment day decided by the court and the rule, the law that we abide by in this country.
Yep.
Zorba, you mentioned the NRL being in a bit of trouble, and Mr. Beattie, what about Penrith? What is doing out there?
Well, they're on life support, aren't they? And so too should be their out-of-form origin stars, James Maloney and Nathan Cleary. I mean, they've had enough time to
yep.
get top form. They're not in form. The West Tigers, 20-0 lead in 12 minutes in Brisbane on Friday night, exposed the Panthers' problems for all to see. There's something massively wrong at Penrith. Whack a bike, drop from being late for training. That's inexcusable. But let's look at Viliami Kikau, who the week before was injured. We're told he's going to be out. He played on Friday night. Well, he was on the field. It was 31 minutes before he had his first run.
Yeah.
31 minutes. The game was gone in 10. He shouldn't have played. He limped around the field. What was he doing on the field? Now, there's a complete there's a complete investigation into everything that's going on at Penrith, and I would like to be some of the staff there, because players should not be taking the field if they're not fit. And someone's given him the okay. So I reckon Cleary will be looking at that as he looks at what's going on there. The majority of players are out of form. The return of Ivan Cleary has been a disaster so far.
Yes.
Is Gus Gould's departure haunting the Mountain men already? The chairman, Dave O'Neill, I understand, is under enormous pressure at the upcoming elections, and he should be looking for a big hole to hide in, because there's plenty of people gunning for him already. I mean, Adam Reynolds, Cody Walker, Luke Keary, all in front of the Penrith duo for New South Wales Origin. Freddie Fittler, does he stick solid? Do we believe the stories that this could harm Nathan Cleary's career? I don't believe so. I think you've got to pick on form. The spray by Ryan Girdler yesterday to his former club was amazing, and it was spot on. If you haven't seen it, get hold of it, and he doesn't miss anybody.
Yeah, heard it. Very interesting. Can't disagree with any things that Ryan Girdler has said on that one. Broncos, we just had a call of Joe. Some people suggesting that the effects of the Saturday night haven't worn off yet for Joe, saying he thinks the Broncos can make the grand final. What are your thoughts on the Bronx?
Well, I think he's obviously a Queenslander that hasn't stepped out of the state. The Broncos, the real deal. Well, Friday against the Roosters will be the real test.
Yes.
For 35 minutes against a badly defeated but brave Manly. Gee, I was proud of them. They really gutted it out. But they just did. They had forwards in the back line, and it was just a matter of time before they exposed them, and they did. But the Broncos looked ordinary for 35 minutes. Eventually, a terrific game from Anthony Milford got them the win. But the form wasn't anywhere good enough to test the Roosters, who have a game against Canberra today before a short turnaround, 5 days before Friday's blockbuster. You mentioned earlier before I came on that Trent Robinson was destined for greatness. I already think he's there.
Yeah.
He will have something worked out. I wouldn't be surprised if they even stay up there and prepare for Friday night. But first things first, they've got to get over a very tough Canberra side today. And Canberra have beaten the Roosters at their last three starts, albeit at GIO Stadium. But everything's in Brisbane's favour for Friday night. So if they don't fire, expect the pressure to be again back on Anthony Seibold and his side. The loss of Jack Bird is a problem for them. Surely James Roberts comes straight back. If he doesn't, there are massive issues at the Broncos behind the scenes. James Seguiaro's mid-season buy, I think, is a good one. They need some spark out of dummy half, and he sure can provide that. I think they'll throw him in straight away. They've been weak around the dummy half, and Seibold knows it.
Yes.
He was spoilt last year with the number 9 he had at South Sydney, who will be the New South Wales dummy half, and that's why he's trying to shore up that position.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are in real strife next week against the Roosters. What about Bellamy? We were saying before, just gets these no-name players, Zorba, and just gets the best out of them.
Well, he does, Dave, but, you know, they're perfectly positioned, Melbourne. They don't have one feeder team in Brisbane. They have two.
Yes.
And they're the leaders. They've got the Sunshine Coast, where young Pappenhausen's been plying his trade, and they've got other stars there just waiting to come into the Melbourne system. They've got a great area from the north of Brisbane right up to Noosa. Big growth area, lots of young kids coming through there, and they're exploiting it very well. They do things well. They've got East in Brisbane, one of the traditional clubs there, where players are coming through, and they've got them scattered everywhere. They've got a great system. They work it well, and that's the reason why they're where they are. But Bellamy's blast after the Storms lost to Cronulla last week, it's had an incredible effect, hasn't it? But the 11 tries, I don't think we expected that. That didn't please the coach as much as the team's defence. 64-10 win over Parra last night. They've left Parra in absolute tatters. Bellamy was all smiles as he saw it embarrassed Parramatta. But what about Brad Arthur? He just described it as rubbish. I thought he was pretty close to probably getting re-signed at Parramatta, but that might set him back a week or two, although I do think he's the man for the job.
What do you think about, just on that, Clint Gutherson, Mitchell Moses, they're all sniffing around there, and the money's around that 750 mark. And my point last night was, from Gutho's point of view, he should have signed last week.
Yeah, he had the poorest game I've seen him have for a long, long time last night. He got exposed in several areas. He lost his cool as captain. But that could happen to a... I think he's frustrated. I think it showed last night how frustrated he is. I thought Mitchell Moses was way behind his standards as well.
Yes.
As the Storm. Just, I didn't believe... I gave Parramatta an even chance last night prior to that game. Their form's been good, but it's only been good at their new stadium. They don't seem to travel too well. But the Storm last night weren't they special?
Yeah.
And Carr, a couple of those tries that he scored. Munster was brilliant. There wasn't a poor player in their side. Once again, Cameron Smith was outstanding. Ferguson versus Addo Carr was great for a while. And I think the miracle round has been fantastic with, 41,000 on Friday, 41,000 again last night. We'll have a good crowd there again today.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's really good news for league fans on the Northern Beaches is that, say, early in September when the Seagulls qualify for the finals and they get themselves a home final, and it might be against a big local team like the West Tigers or the Eels, they'll all be able to cram into Brookvale Oval, or Lotto Land, as it's now known, because the NRL says, yes, that's an appropriate venue for semi-finals, Zorb.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. They haven't done that for over a decade. I think it was St George versus Manly, and Manly walloped them in the last finals game played there. I tend to agree that, it should be an even playing field, and it hasn't been for a long time. And for that alone, I'd love to see the suburban grounds packed for the first week of the finals. And nothing better. And if a side earns it, I think no matter what, then they should get that opportunity. We don't have an even playing field.
No.
With the draw that we have and the teams that don't always play away in various times of the season, I think it needs looking at, and it's one of the problems we've always had.
Mm. Righto, mate. We've got to get your zappers for today. A couple of games remaining in round 9, magic round.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Roosters, but Canberra. Boy, what about their trip to get there?
Yeah. Taking
an age. But as I said, Canberra's won the last 3 games, but I don't think that they can match the Roosters. I think the Roosters will win, but I don't think it'll be anywhere near the big scores that we've seen at Suncorp in the last couple of days. And I'm looking forward to that clash, but I'm also looking forward to Sam Burgess versus Jason Taumalolo. I don't think the Cowboys can get near Souths, but I think that clash alone will be mouth-watering. And I can't wait for the result of the Jack DeBellin case this week. I keep hearing that it's not as cut and dried as it's been made out to be.
Right.
So let's wait and see.
-8.5 both those games. Are you happy to take that on?
Yeah.
All right. Roosters -8.5, $1.95. Rabbitohs -8.5 is $2. That's your zapper for this week. I tend to agree with you, Jack DeBellin case. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next
week.
Okay, boys. Bye.
There he is, Peter Peters. Bye-bye, Beatty. Bye-bye is what he's saying today.
Yeah, right. Geez, full of beans, isn't he?
He always is.
He's fired up. How many more people do you reckon to if he goes to his local shopping centre this afternoon just going up and just saying bye-bye, Beattie?
Absolutely. People are texting him right now saying bye-bye, Beattie, one of your best, or well done.